Hi, and welcome to this podcast. My name is Gala Riani. I am the Director of Analysis for Control Risks Middle East and North Africa Political Risk Team. I'm joined today by Graham Griffiths, our lead Saudi Arabia analyst based in Dubai, and Mike Moran, Managing Director for Control Risks in the United States, based in our New York office. We're going to be talking about the changing relationship between Saudi Arabia and the US today. Graham, let me come to you first. US President Barack Obama was just in Saudi Arabia. This visit came amid sort of continued perceptions of strain in the relationship between Saudi Arabia and the US. What does the trip tell us about the current status of affairs?
I think the trip tells us that despite the strains that you mentioned, and I'll touch on those again in a bit, that the relationship remains quite strong and increasingly institutionalized, despite the anger with which some of President Obama's comments regarding the fact that the United States' allies in the Gulf are free riders. I think that on a practical level, the U.S. remains significantly engaged with its partners in the Gulf in terms of the basing of military units here, cooperation in the campaign against the Islamic State in Iraq and Syria, in terms of economics and on a number of other levels. And so, especially Obama visiting the GCC summit and what is supposed to become an annual kind of meeting between the leaders of the Gulf and the United States, I think that tells us that this partnership continues to endure, that both sides continue to see it as a strategic partnership. That being said, there is some strain in the relationship, and I think that that was also a key component of the visit, was that perhaps a realization on the part of the Obama administration of the need to soothe some hurt feelings because of the president's quite frank remarks regarding his thoughts on the United States' Gulf allies.
Thank you very much, Graham. So, Mike, let's come to you. Graham sort of touched on some of the underpinnings of the relationship, the way he sees it. Do you think that those have changed? Obviously, the relationship used to be very much driven by the oil issue as well as the US's interest in regional stability. Has this changed?
I think it has in its background dynamic. It's just not as simple a quid pro quo as it once was. I think for many decades, the quid pro quo was essentially, in a simplistic way, boiled down to the U.S. would help ensure Saudi security. Think back to the 1990-91 Gulf War. And in return, the Saudis would do their best to keep oil prices within a band and would cooperate to some extent on intelligence matters. I think what's happened really post 9/11 is that there's a significant debate in the kind of foreign policy elite about the extent to which the U.S. has undermined its own interests by supporting Saudi Arabia and Saudi Arabia's more outward-reaching effort to influence Islam around the world. And so that's the debate that kind of underpins this within Washington. I think in a big, larger sense, though, I think Graham is absolutely right. The U.S. it looks at Saudi Arabia as a partner in the region, realistically the only one with influence in the major areas of friction, whether it be Lebanon and the Israeli-Palestinian conflict or in the Gulf itself, in Yemen and in Syria. It's the most reliably able partner in the region. And just moving beyond the political aspects of it, it's also still a very important player in the global oil market. I don't think that you could underestimate the extent to which the U.S. is quite happy with what Saudi Arabia has done for whatever reason over the last couple of years, because it's been a useful stimulus, not just to the U.S., but to many U.S. Trading partners.
Graham, let me come back to you. On the back of Obama's visit to Saudi Arabia, is there a sense that there is a diversity of opinion in the kingdom about the role that the US should have or could have? And is there even a sense that the sort of perceptions of US, I won't say withdrawal, but sort of change in the US's engagement with the region is presenting an opportunity for Saudi Arabia?
I think there is a bit of a diversity of opinion, and I think one of the kind of ways in which we see that is that you know, there's kind of a divergence between people who see that the, you know, the kind of current frustration with the United States' policies that does exist, whether that's coming specifically from Obama himself and the Obama administration and is something that will change when a new administration takes over, or whether, you know, it's reflective of some deeper shifts within United States policy and United States attitudes towards the Gulf and towards the Middle East. And that's something that's going to persist regardless of who replaces Obama. So I think that there's quite a bit of consensus on perhaps the role that people in the Gulf would like the U.S. to play, which is to kind of continue in its historic role and to return to the more active and interventionist policies that it had adopted previously, where it was willing to kind of step in to regional conflicts rather than what we've seen in Syria, where the Gulf is extremely frustrated with what it sees as the U.S.'s refusal to engage, refusal to seriously work for the overthrow of the Syrian government. But I do think you're right to point out that there are many in the Gulf who do see that this kind of change in U.S. policy or change in U.S. attitude does present an opportunity. I think there's a growing perception in the Gulf that the kind of center of power and political decision making in the Middle East has shifted to the Gulf, and that this is really the Gulf's moment, as demonstrated by the campaign in Yemen. And whether that's justified or not, I think that there is a feeling that as long as the U.S. kind of stays out of the, you know, doesn't hinder the Gulf states in their newfound kind of activist approach to regional affairs, and continues to offer background support as it's doing in the campaign in Yemen, for instance, that this does really represent a moment in which the Gulf can more forcefully take in hand its own interests in the region.
That's really interesting, Graham, and it I think brings us to a really important point that we haven't touched on yet, which is Iran. So, Mike, if I come to you, from the U.S.-Saudi perspective, to what degree are the different stances to Iran between Saudi Arabia and the U.S. affecting their relationship with each other?
Well, I think it's done two things. It's added a level of, I wouldn't say paranoia, but concern on the Saudi side that there might be some option B down the road somewhere for the United States that involves embracing Tehran and, in some sense, replacing, quote unquote, you know, the Saudis with Iran as the main partner in the region. I think they look back to the swap that Egypt did when the Soviets basically were turfed out and the U.S. became an Egyptian ally during the Cold War, and they look at that as a precedent they don't want to see repeated. It's not a scenario that seems likely to me. There's not a clamor to do this in the United States. Iran is still seen as a very problematic and difficult country to deal with. The relationship is not as poisonous as it once was, but there's a significant portion of the U.S. establishment, for lack of a better term, that deeply mistrusts Iran and still can't get past the remarks years ago by Ahmadinejad about the destruction of Israel. That crossed a line in the United States that's not been forgotten. With regard to, you know, the second aspect of this, which is the ability to actually do some useful business with Iran, I think the U.S. is attempting to, you know, make the argument to the Saudis that this is a good thing because Iran, like it or not, has great influence in some important quarters in the region. However we got there, Iran is or the dominant power from the outside in Iraq and has essentially been fighting on the same side as the United States in Syria. So it's hard to disengage all these things and create a black and white world. And I feel some in Saudi would like to see that black and white world return, but it's not going to return.
Thank you, Mike. Graham, do you have any comments on that? Is that reassuring to hear from the Saudi perspective?
Yeah, I mean, I think it would be reassuring to hear that the U.S. is highly unlikely to kind of shift its preferences from Saudi Arabia to Iran. I do think there's a bit of an exaggeration in the Gulf of the prospects of that happening, or the extent to which Obama favors Iran over the GCC, which I don't think is really reflected in the kind of actual, you know, U.S. policies that we see. But I do think that the issue of Iran really is driving a lot of this tension in the relationship to the Saudis. the Saudis see kind of a single-minded U.S. focus on the Islamic State, which they view as a symptom rather than a cause, and it's a symptom of, in their view, Iranian destabilizing intervention in the region, the violence being committed against civilians in Syria and Iraq. And so, they kind of fundamentally are quite frustrated with what they see as the U.S.'s refusal to confront what they see as the fundamental factor in destabilizing the region's security.
Thank you very much, Graham, Mike. This has been an incredibly interesting discussion and one that we will no doubt return to. I'm Gala Riani, and on behalf of my colleagues in Dubai and New York, thank you very much for joining us today.